Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to say this is 56 yards, just outside 56 yards, where Luke Bauer will hold it. Brett LeBlanc will snap it. First part's clean, and the kick has enough leg, and it is good.
Courtesy of ESPN, that audio right there from the Mizzou game. We are waiting on Bernie Miklas, KMOX sports contributor. But in the meantime, I was remiss. I didn't call out our loyal listeners. Happy New Year's to all of our loyal listeners in Hong Kong. Congratulations and happy New Year's to our loyal listeners in Sydney. They've probably gone to bed already.
Sydney?
They might be up again, you know. Yeah. Thank you for listening from Tokyo. I feel like we're really killing it this New Year's Eve.
Dude, we have done so well.
I know.
We deserve a bonus.
I think so. The global bonus.
Yeah, the
glow bonus.
The glow bonus. The Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We'll talk to Bernie shortly. We're trying to hook up with him. I'm at Almost Home Tavern in Wrigleyville. So if you're coming down for the ball game, what the hell? If you're coming down for the Winter Classic, which is
he's already had
o'clock.
A few. He's already tipped
this place
a few
is,
back.
No, I haven't had any. Come on, man.
You're
blowing up my spot. No, I haven't had any, but there's a lot of people in the other room.
This is perhaps the most frustrating thing to me is that you went all the way to Chicago to be on the scene in Wrigleyville to talk to Blues fans, to represent the Chris and Amy show in Chicago and say, hey, we're here. We care. Come talk to us. Have a shot of Malort, and somehow you managed to bring a cord that resigned you to a little closet in the back of the restaurant. No one can see you.
No
one can see you.
It isn't. Well, no, I'm in a room with a bunch of Alabama fans who have showed up fashionably late. They've shown up fashionably late to their bowl game, which started 35 minutes ago.
Speaking of
they're here now.
Speaking of fashionably late,
Bernie's with us.
Bernie's with us.
Yeah. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, Bernie.
I apologize. There was a
technical
glitch.
There
was a misunderstanding on the schedule. So, but I take responsibility. My fault. Thank you.
No, every day I'm here, I feel like it's a misunderstanding with the schedule. I got this job as a clerical error. Honestly, Bernie, that's the most shocking thing. Is I don't know why they trust me with a microphone, much less the microphone of KMOX. It's irresponsible. Not sure what's going on here, but hey, did you watch Mizzou beat Iowa yesterday in the Music City Bowl?
Did I ever? Can I tell you a very quick story?
Yes.
To give it context?
You can draw it out. We've got all day.
Okay, so, Kevin Wheeler and I were doing the Dave Glover show yesterday, one to five.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously the Mizzou game was going on during the show, and I was kind of looking at the score, but I couldn't watch it. I knew the outcome and all that. So after the show, my wife and I went to Garden Glow. Then we had some dinner. Then we came home. And I was, like, really, really sleepy by then. And so I fell asleep. I didn't watch the game, except I woke up at, like, 1:30 in the morning after a nice nap. And I'm like, well, dang it, I'm going to watch that football game. So I was up basically till 4 a.m. watching Mizzou. The entire game. It was worth it. I tell you, it was worth it. We always talk about how these, and I do this too, by the way, there's too many bowl games. They don't matter. You have all these guys opting out. It's yada, yada, yada. And there's a lot of merit to that. But that was a bowl game to me that was almost unusual in these times we live in, because the intensity on both sides, I mean, a hard-hitting, fiercely contested game It almost didn't fit what we've come to expect from, like, routine bowl games. You know what I mean? But what a great win by Mizzou, and what a great way for Brady Cook to go out.
Yeah, we were just talking about the upcoming Illini game, which will happen today at 2 o'clock. And, you know, the bowl games now are a little – they're different just because you have so many players in bigger programs who are opting out if they're not playoff games, which I fully get that. I understand it because a lot of these guys think they're going to play at the next level. Do you have much of an issue with players saying, hey, this is a bowl game that isn't – for a championship or no chance at a championship, so I'm not going to play?
No, I don't have a problem with it at all because, now, if someone opted out of a college football playoff game, that's an entirely different story. I think just about everybody would have a problem with that. But, no, I do think bowl games, they're the proliferation of bowl games. There are so many of them. So many of them are, you know, pretty meaningless. They're, you know, to use a soccer term, they've almost become like friendlies, you know? So I just don't have a problem with it. I mean, and guys that have a legitimate chance to get drafted by an NFL team and earn a living in the NFL, I think they owe it to themselves to get ready for that. And getting ready for that means also staying healthy. And there have been instances of players getting hurt who didn't opt out. And, you know, there were some repercussions with that, or at least it was problematic for them. So I don't have a problem with it at all.
Hey, Bernie, we just spoke with Lon Tay on ESPN 93.5 out of Champaign, Illinois, and he did bring up an interesting point when it comes to the NIL. What if you've got some of these star players and you're paying them, right? They're getting NIL money. Should they or could they have an obligation if they're getting a high dollar amount to play in a bowl game? Like, you work that into their contract as you would with a professional athlete?
I don't know. I mean, I would say yes if there was a contract that could be drawn up, but I don't even know if a contract is permissible under the system, because we're living in a time of obviously of great chaos in college football. But short of a player actually signing a contract that commits him to playing in any bowl game, no matter what the importance level is, short of that, I would say no. It wouldn't make a difference, at least the way I feel.
Yeah, I'm wondering that, Bernie, because I don't know what is allowed. You have seen players who have it's escaping me now what university it was, but somewhere recently there were some players who were either suing or were upset because what they think they were promised in NIL wasn't delivered. And a lot of times, it sounds like these are just sort of handshake agreements. Is that how this works? They're not actually written in they're not put in writing?
Yeah, that was the UNLV quarterback who claimed he was offered, I think, of $1.5 million or something like that, and then didn't get it, so he left early in the season. I forget where he went. Doesn't matter. You know, for all the NIL stuff, right, and I think NIL is great. I think, you know, it should be regulated a little bit. There should be better rules in place for this and that, but that's true of anything. I'm not too much of a fuddy-duddy with that. But the interesting thing about this is that even by signing on, or to use your term, a handshake agreement for the NIL, and I think it is a handshake agreement, as we sit here today, you know, college football players, college basketball players, all college athletes, they are not employees in terms of the university. They're not considered employees. The NCAA does not consider them employees. And the NCAA will, you know, go to court to fight any kind of attempt to make student athletes official employees of the university. So, no, there is no binding agreement. I mean, there is no employee contract. There is no, you know, collectively bargained agreement, you know, with all these players being represented by one big union. So it's very muddled, and you're asking, you know, great questions, logical questions, but the players have finally received some power in the game, some skin in the game, some money in the game after being the primary source of revenue for decades, that makes college football turn into the financial engine that it is. They're the ones playing. They're the ones, you know, put their bodies on the line. They're the ones that, you know, are when coaches leave and abandon them to go somewhere else, they're kind of left holding the bag, or at least that's the way it's been before the transfer portal. So, I'm all about player freedom. The only caveat I would put on that is that I do think at some point, I just laugh at some of these kids that, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, and I'm gonna exaggerate on purpose, you know. Johnny Football, he's in his ninth season. You know, it's like, well, what, you know, because they keep transferring from, you know, and finding these loopholes that, you know, enables them to, like, add more seasons. And I'd like to see a limit on transfers, and I would be very, very flexible with that. I mean, I don't know that, you know, I want to see, and this is just me speaking as a fan, you know, some dude, you know, basically transferring every single year, going to a new place. I mean, yeah, we as people, unless we've signed a contract that binds us to Camel X or whatever, no, we can't, you know, unless we have that contract, you know, we can pick up and go at any time. And so the counter argument to what I just said would be, well, why shouldn't a player, if it's in his best interest, and they allow as many transfers as they can, as possible, why shouldn't they exhaust all the possibilities? I'm just saying it's a turnoff. Yeah. That's all. I'm not saying that it should be banned. I just find it distasteful, maybe is the word. I don't know.
Well, we did with LeBron James and Bronny. We just had the first father-son duo to play in an NBA game. Maybe we'll have that with college football. The first father-son to play in a college football game.
You never know. I mean, no, it's just, I'm not one of the people that's like, wish the old good old days would come back. I think, man, I think players have been kind of suppressed in terms of, you know, earning. And I know the old timers would say, well, they get a college education. Okay, whatever. They're bringing in unbelievable revenue for those universities. Universities win that every single time if we're comparing what the net value of an education is based on these colossal TV contracts that conferences and individual universities get, you know, huge cuts of these incredible TV packages. So, yeah, it would be nice if, like, if this was like Division III, you know, everyone really does go there for an education. But Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about it. Matt Pauley and I were talking about it. You know, at this point in time, it's so incredibly naive to think that players who have legitimate aspirations to, number one, play in the NFL, or number two, just who are collecting NIL money, which will enable them to live comfortably as athletes, it's really, really naive to think that their prime motivation is an education. I mean, it sounds nice. We want to believe that, but it's just a fairy tale. I mean, unfortunately or fortunately, those days are long gone.
Bernie, before we say goodbye, two things. One, tell us your thoughts on the Winter Classic today, which happens at 4, Blues Blackhawks. And then tell us about our friends at Saliga. And then we'll let you go. We'll let you go enjoy
New Year's Eve.
No, Matt,
it's great talking to you, and I'm sorry for being late. I'm looking forward to this because, first of all, Kevin Wheeler and I were talking about it. You know, the NHL's been doing too many of these games. They're all over the place now. I don't really want to watch a Winter Classic or whatever in, you know, being played in the state of Florida. No, thank you. But there are some venues and some matchups that just have undeniable appeal. Like if I hear there's going to be a Winter Classic at like a legendary baseball park or whatever, I'm there. I'm going to watch it. And especially with the Blues and the Blackhawks, you have a great rivalry at Wrigley Field. I think there would be a pull for St. Louisans, even, you know, baseball fans who aren't necessarily the biggest Blues fans. I mean, it's like, oh, man, Blues-Blackhawks rivalry. Wrigley Field, you got to be kidding me. This is great. What time does it start? I mean, I feel that way. So I'm excited for it, and hopefully the Blues get a couple points today.